the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show. Yes, we're back.
Randy, we are back. We are back, and
Randy is. By the way, my friend Randy is in California. Randy, how are you?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. This is the news. This is Walter Mitchell. Sorry, I'm talking on a really old Macintosh. Hi, Bill. Hi, Bill. In Tomorrowland.
You're in the mother country, man. We're doing this over a long distance phone line.
We certainly are. Oh, baby, come on. I'm sorry.
Is that Donald Trump?
Yeah, he spat the pacifier.
He's gone crazy, man.
He certainly has. Well, and how are you down there in Australia?
Well, things are a lot more calm here than they are there, man.
I can't believe it.
I told you the cheese was going to go off his cracker. I told you he was insane.
Yeah, it's really
bad. We've been saying it. Oh my God! Tell me, what's it like there? You're in Santa Monica, aren't you?
Santa Barbara, and
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, but you know what? What's even more intense is the local elections and the local issues. You know, people don't have Trump and Clinton signs on their lawns. They have people running for the water board and stuff like that, and Proposition 59, yeah. Those are the real intense fights. And all the advertising on the television is for the Senate and the House of Reps. And they have.
Aren't they doing a pharmaceutical? They're doing a pharmaceutical bill up there, aren't they?
For marijuana. Yeah, but you know what's really bad is they have anti ads. You don't want to vote for Bill because Bill is an asshole who did not really go to Afghanistan. He just says he did, and those ads are nasty. They're really nasty. And then it'll be followed by an ad by that very candidate saying, "I went to Afghanistan and I saved a lot of people, and you really love me, and don't vote for the other woman." So they actually have their own ads, then they have anti ads, and it's really creepy. Wow. I've never seen anything like that. To take the gloves off,
The politics in America has gotten toxic. I mean, even more toxic than it's ever been before.
Yeah, but it's not.
Would you agree?
Well, yeah, but you know, my name is Randall Berger, and I agree with this message. But that message can be really shit. I'm not kidding. They are really nasty.
I've been watching CNN over here. That's the candidates there. Yeah, it's a cat fight. Throw some water on them, for God's sake.
It's pretty bad.
Man, we've been watching. I've been watching the CNN here, and of course, a lot of people might be wondering why we were off for so long. It was just disbelief, you know. Go ahead.
We haven't been off for that long. It's just I had to get over here, and we've only been off for a week, but so much has happened.
Look what happened in a week.
Oh, the second
Look what
debate
happened in a week.
The second debate happened while I was actually in the air, and when I landed, and I was in LAX, and I was looking up at the screen, and there was this thing where he was right behind her, and I thought, what is that? And he was doing that sort of that creepy thing where he crept up behind her, And because it was a town hall, and they would walk along the front of the audience, he would circle behind her and be staring at her like...
He's a fucking nutcase, man. He's a stalker. He's a fucking nut. You know?
And then there were all these memes where they gave, like, evil faces to him, like clowns and Hannibal Lecter and vampires and all that kind of stuff, like he was going to bite her. And then Danny Elfman, who scores all the wonderful Tim Burton films, wrote a piece of music called Donald Trump Stalks Hillary Clinton. Have you heard it?
No, I haven't. Do you have it for the show?
Yeah, it's in my folder, and we can play it on one of our interludes. And I thought, now that is somebody using their own talent to stick it to somebody. And I thought
stick
that was really
man.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, then, of course, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go. No, it's your show. It's got your name. It's got your name on it.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to get to the thing because we got to get to our first segment, which is, of course, dealing with everything that's happened in the last week. So, ladies and gentlemen, the intro we usually do, it's time now again for our episode of Psycho Trump!
Now it's time for the next episode of Psycho Trump.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Danger. The emergency disrupt system is now activating. The ship will detonate in T-minus 10 minutes.
Throw it away. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
Avalanche. One woman.
He just put his hand over his throat.
After another.
He began thrusting his genitals.
After another.
He was grabbing my breast.
Accusing Donald Trump of sexual aggression.
These claims are all fabricated. They're pure fiction and they're outright lies. The election is rigged. Rigged like you've never seen before.
Trump's latest message, don't trust anyone. Is he laying the groundwork for a disputed election? That story next.
We have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system, and our system is rigged.
We do cheat. We have people who cheat in elections.
You're saying only Democrats cheat.
I've found very few situations where Republicans...
When you looked at that horrible woman last night, you said, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell you.
Yes, the bomb has gone off, ladies and gentlemen. The cheese is falling off the Donald's cracker.
We'll meet again.
Don't know when.
But you know what?
Yeah.
My mother, she says, I fully expect we'll go to war.
What?
I mean, there's actually a pessimism of about, well, yes, if he's elected, we will have another war. And I'm going... Oh.
Now, what, considering if Hillary's elected, or...
No, if Trump is elected, there will be a war.
Oh, yeah, there'll be a war.
Don't...
Yeah, somebody's going to insult his tie, and we'll go to war.
Yeah.
Because he's a crazy person.
The thing is they're quite accepting of that here.
Oh, Jesus,
don't forget, of the 279 years that America has existed... or whatever it is, 239 years, 222 years have been in some sort of armed conflict. So they're kind of used to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Saturday. What's happening? We haven't invaded anywhere. Come on, man.
We haven't invaded anywhere. So really, the fact that... And you know, he's asked so many times, if we've got nuclear weapons, how come we haven't used them?
Yeah, why have we used those? We got so many of them. Why have we used them?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I thought that, I'd that kind of... Yeah, go ahead. I thought that I would kind of recap on how many... first of all, the tape came out that Donald likes grabbing pussy. And who knows that he was a pervert?
That's in the... know that poor little Billy Bush had to resign from...
Sycophantic little fuck.
And he gets a $10 million severance package?
Are you kidding me? $10 million for that little shit? Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody listened to the tape, and I included the important part, because you've all listened to it ad nauseum. It basically shows
I was going to fuck her, but she's married. I was going to fuck her. I wanted to fuck her, but she was married.
No, I know she's married, and I tried to fuck her. So basically, yeah.
Miss Slovenia of 1969. What's her name? Melania
has come Melania.
Out. Yeah, Melania. She's come out and said it wasn't his fault. It was Billy. Not. Billy made him talk dirty.
Yeah, I know. Because you know what? You know Westworld? She's a host. She's an android. Trump gave her a choice. Either support me or I'm putting you back in the packing crate that I got you from. Listen, I just want to recap some of the people that after Trump basically said, this is what I do to women, came out and said, yeah, that's what he does to women. We got a woman named Kathy Heller, now 63. She said he grabbed her, went for a kiss, and grew angry and twisted away. This was while Heller was having a Mother's Day brunch at the Trump Mar-a-Lago estate with the kids there. She alleges that Trump said, oh, come on, when she protested and held her still while he kissed her on the side of the mouth. We've got
his
Summer Zervos.
His own daughter won't kiss him.
What's that?
His own daughter won't kiss
him. Let me get through these. We got Summer Zervos, a contestant from season 5 Apprentice. Yeah, let me get through them. Said in a press conference that with attorney Gloria Allred that Trump assaulted her on several occasions. First time she met with Trump in his office, kissed her on the mouth. On a separate occasion, said she was with Trump at the Beverly Hills Hotel to discuss business opportunities. Instead, grabbed her while she sat next to him and began kissing her and touching her breasts. Trump later walked into the bedroom. She told reporters he began thrusting his genitals in her direction. Here is Kirsten Anderson, who says that she was at a Manhattan nightclub sitting with friends, and the old Trumpster reached up to her skirt and touched her vagina. Okay. Trump said that he denies all the phony allegations, but it's also worth noting that Anderson did not approach the Post of the story. It was somebody else who told the Post, and they contacted her. Jessica Leeds, more than 30 years ago, was traveling for work when she sat next to Trump on a flight to New York, and evidently, good old Trump, he can't even hold his water when he's in the air. Leeds, who's 74 years old, said he took the armrest, put it up, grabbed her breast, put his hand up her skirt, and said he was like an octopus. His hands were everywhere. Trump vehemently denies the story, and he's threatening to sue the New York Times. Rachel Crook says she was assaulted by Trump in an elevator working as a receptionist as a real estate investment and developing a company in Trump Tower. She told the New York Times that upon meeting Trump, she introduced herself, shook his hand, but he would not let go. Trump began to kiss her on the cheek, then directly on the mouth. It was so inappropriate. I was so upset that he thought I was so insignificant that he could do that. Crooks was only 22 years old at the time. Mindy McIlvray told the Palm Beach Post that Trump groped her while she was attending a concert at Mar-a-Lago. She was there to help a friend who was photographing the concert. All of a sudden, I felt a little grab, a little nudge. I think it was Ken's camera bag, probably a very small lens. That was my first instinct, and I turn around, and there's Donald. Donald! Pretty close to my butt. It started, I jumped. No, there's more. Natasha Sayoff and a harrowing essay from People magazine described how Trump assaulted her while she was interviewing him with his wife, Melania, at their Palm Beach estate. What a humiliating thing for Melania. I actually felt sorry for her. She writes that Trump insisted that giving her a private tour of the grounds, at which point he pinned her and kissed her. Trump shut the door. I turned around. Within seconds, he was pushing me against the wall and forced his tongue down my throat. I was grateful when Trump's longtime butler burst into the room, so I had a chance to pin myself. When Trump was given this information, he went in front of a campaign rally and said, "Look at her. I don't think so." What a fuckhead. Jennifer Murphy,
Jesus.
A contestant on season 4 of The Apprentice, he walked to the elevator and said goodbye. Then he pulled my face and gave me a smooch, and it was like, okay, I didn't know how to act. Murphy also told the publication that she plans to vote for Trump. Go figure that one. I don't know. Cassandra Searles, her account, over the summer, Miss Washington 2013, posted a photo on Facebook of her fellow contestants and the question, "Do you all remember that time we had to do our onstage introductions, but this one guy treated us like cattle and made us do it again because we didn't look him in the eyes? Do you also remember when he proceeded to have us line up so he could get a closer look at his property?" In a follow-up comment to the post, she reportedly added, "He probably doesn't want me telling the story about that time he continually grabbed my ass and invited me to his hotel room." Jane Doe, which we talked about on the show in June, a California woman named Jane Doe filed a lawsuit alleging that Trump raped her at a party when she was 13 years old. It's going to trial in December. Temple Taggart McDowell.
After the election. Yeah.
After the election. Temper Taggart McDowell, yeah. The year that Taggart McDowell won the crown Miss Utah, Trump had just taken ownership of the Miss USA pageant. She says that when she was first introduced to him, he kissed me directly on the lips. I thought, oh God, gross. He was married to Marla Maples at the time, and it was like, wow, that's inappropriate. Which, of course, is the name of Donald Trump's new television series. Wow, that's inappropriate. Jill Harth. Harth worked with Trump in the 1990s. She's her partner and operated a competition called the American Dream Calendar Girls, but it ended in a bitter legal battle. In a 1997 lawsuit, Harth alleged in court documents that Trump repeatedly sexually harassed her, at one point groping her under a table. Though she eventually dropped that suit, she stands by her story. "How can people believe me now?" she asked Inside Edition after footage of Trump saying he grabs women by the pussy emerged. Ivana Trump and the 1992 deposition during their divorce said that he raped her. That we've talked about on the show. He also is accused of going backstage at the Miss Teen USA pageant to take a perv at underage girls. Now, this was topped off by this interview with Howard Stern. Now, look, Randy, you know that I teach kids, right? Yeah, I mean, I like kids. I teach kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have a foul mouth on this, but this is an adult broadcast. I don't bring that into the classroom. And this guy is a fucking demented pervert.
Yeah.
He got on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And he basically, we're talking about Lindsay Lohan. And this just disturbed me almost as much as everything else. Both Howard Stern, who is a maggot, and Trump were talking about having sex with emotionally disturbed teenagers. I kid you fucking not. This is the cut from the Howard Stern show. I want you to have a listen to this. Here it is.
I'll bet eventually you trade her in for Lindsay Lohan, this Melania.
What do you think of Lindsay Lohan, Howard?
I think she's hot.
There's something there, right?
Yes.
But you have to like freckles. I've seen a close-up of her chest.
Yes.
And a lot of freckles. Are you into freckles?
I'm not into freckles, but, you know, the red hair thing I like. I like her on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, there's something cool about her.
A little Anne Margaret thing going on.
Her name is very cool, too. It's a great name. You know, you need a name. I'll tell you what. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Call him Bill Smith.
Go ahead.
Is he a movie star?
Absolutely not.
Okay. he was born with one of the greatest names ever. You need the name. Lindsay Lohan's sort of a good name.
Yeah.
Now, does the father wreck, does that bother you a little bit?
Well, I'm just thinking Howard Stern, man. I beat the odds with that name.
Yeah, yeah, but Howard...
But no, you did beat the odds.
Yes.
You really beat the odds.
Howard feels that the father being a wreck is a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because first of all, if the father's a wreck, like the way he is...
Right.
You imagine the sex with this troubled
Yeah, you're probably right. She's probably deeply troubled and therefore great in bed.
Back in the day...
How come the deeply troubled women...
Yes.
You know, deeply, deeply troubled.
Right.
They're always the best in bed.
You sick, twisted... Fuck.
Yeah, damaged goods make the best fucks. Yeah.
You know, and what kind of guy, first of all, Howard Stern's a maggot, but what kind of guy sits back and says that somebody who's going through psychological anguish or is deeply psychologically troubled, the only thing they can think of is how quick they can get that they can get to orgasm with that person? What kind of sociopath? Why are we having any arguments? And there is still like 30% of the American people who are going to vote for this fucker. Jesus Christ. Randy, help me.
And his philosophy is, vagina is expensive.
Oh, Christ. I mean...
What about Stern saying you're going to give up Melania for Lindsay Lohan? Like, you're already talking about number four on national radio, a nationally syndicated radio program. Ugh.
What kind of, by the way, you know, let's spare a thought. You know, I make a lot of quips about Melania, and some of them are quite cruel, I guess. But now I'm listening to this, I'm going, how can a person do that in the public media in front of their wife? I mean, what kind of fucking asshole? I mean, when Clinton fooled around, he fooled around, you know, he did fool around and he lied about it, but he was impeached. I mean, he suffered the consequences.
Well, he was impeached for perjury, not for fooling around.
But, you know, that's what they wanted to impeach him for a blowjob.
Yeah, but it was really for perjury.
The women that had sex with Bill Clinton wanted to have sex with him. You know?
No, you know why? It's the same thing that Donald Trump says. When you're a celebrity, they want to fuck you. You can grab them on the pussy. You can do anything. It's because Bill Clinton was a celebrity.
Yeah, but I know that. But what I'm saying is that Clinton, A, paid the price for it, but B, you know, he wanted to keep those affairs secret, you know?
Yeah.
And Trump doesn't keep them secret. Not even in front of his wife. He doesn't actually care about anybody or anything.
I think.
And by the way, Kennedys... why are we bringing up Bill Clinton? Why the fuck the Republicans bring up? And why is CNN playing around with this shit? How is this a Hillary Clinton's problem?
He's not running for president.
Yeah, no, she's not. He's the victim in this situation.
He's not, yeah.
He's not running for president, but what I'm saying is they're blaming Hillary for him fooling around. What the fuck is that about?
I want to say, you know, the things they were saying about Lindsay Lohan, I reckon they said the same things about, the Kennedy brothers said the same things about Marilyn Monroe. You know, takes codeine. She's a great fuck. You know, let's do that sort of thing. I don't think there was... I think this has gone on before. Celebrities take advantage.
I think you're assuming a lot. No. See, that's the kind of cynicism here. You know, the something is that, as far as I know, even with all the stuff that's come out of against the Kennedys, I have never seen any certified evidence that John F. Kennedy didn't have sex with anybody that didn't want to have sex with him. Donald Trump, by the way, you know, consent is important. Consent is everything. And Donald Trump is going around molesting people. He's molesting people. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of bullies have the 1 in 10 thing. I'm going to strike it lucky one time in 10. So that's what he's doing. He's going around molesting women, thinking 1 in 10 is going to take me on.
Yeah, and you know, Rudy Giuliani came out the other day and he said, well, everybody does it. Everybody does it. No, Rudy, everybody doesn't do it. Depraved fucks like you do it. Depraved fucks like Trump do it. I can speak for the people I know, and they don't sit there talking about raping troubled teen girls for fun on the fucking national radio. Okay, asshole?
Billy, this is the same with all the stuff with the Stanford swimmer. You know, he was only having 20 minutes worth of fun. Give him a break.
Oh, God. What is wrong? Anyway, listen, I want to go forward with something the Boston Globe talked about today. I don't have a clip for it. It's just this. Evidently, Trump's loonbag supporters, and we're talking a good percentage, his supporters here said they plan to go to their local precincts to look for illegal immigrants because Trump is saying the election will be rigged. If the election will be rigged, if he doesn't win, then it's all rigged, right? And this was one of these batshit fucking crazy retards that we're going to have to...
They're going to intimidate... Yeah, they're going to intimidate people who don't look white Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah. That's fucking Nazi shit. Now, if Trump doesn't win, some are even locally talking about violent rebellion and assassination.
Yeah.
Here is one guy, Dan Bowman, a 50-year-old contractor from my neck of the woods, told the Boston Globe, if she's in office, I hope we can start a coup. She should be in prison or shot. That's how I feel about it. We're going to have a revolution and take them out of office if that's what it takes. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed, but that's what's going to take. I would do whatever I can for my country. You know what, fucking goober? You fucking try it. Just fucking try it.
If I have to be a patriot, I'll be a patriot, yeah.
We're going to throw your fucking ass in stir so fucking quick, and you can sit there and talk sex with your buddy Trump. I am sick of these picture wheelie retards that are fucking infesting the national conversation. 30%, 70% of the Republican Party believe that if Trump loses, it's fixed. Not the fact that Trump is a fucking insane maniac who couldn't run a campaign because Trump has run such a great campaign, right? He's fired three of his campaign managers. Yeah. You know, I mean,
he's the best. He's the best. He's going to have the best campaign.
And by the way, Texas, don't hit your ass on the fucking way out. All right?
Yeah.
I think that every one of us, you know, Americans, Republicans, Democrats, I don't care who you are, have got to stand up to these fascist fucks. And there's a whole lot of them. Because not on our watch. You want to intimidate voters, we're going to throw your ass in jail. In fucking jail. And if you take an AR-15
They're not going to.
Well, if they take an AR-15, if any of these strange-ass fuckers decide to take a shot at Hillary Clinton or anybody else, I say that you put the ATF on these people, and sorry, pal, that's where you cross the mark. You want a revolution? You want a civil war? Fine. You want it? Well, fine. You got it.
I wonder
it.
If that guy, I wonder
we
if that
are
guy's
going
had
to
a visit.
Crush you.
I wonder if that guy's that? Had a visit from the FBI, because he's on camera. He says you know, if I have to be a patriot, I'm going to assassinate her. I wonder if he's had a visit.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I'd be interested,
Yet Trump has advised his supporters to pose as election monitors on election day. And some are taking him up on that. Another Trump supporter said, I'll look for, it's called racial profiling. This is what he said.
Yeah.
Mexicans, Syrians, people who can't speak American. You fucking retard. I'm going to go right up behind them. I'll do everything legally. Oh, you better fucking do it legally, pal. I want to see if they are accountable. I'm not going to do anything illegal. I'm going to make them a little bit nervous. You know what, fuckhead? We're going to make you a little bit nervous. You take a step out of fucking bounds, and you should be arrested. Arrested.
Absolutely.
Because not in this country. Trump also had a problem with, like the Republican leadership who created this fucking dingbat, basically have been lashing out against Trump because what he is doing is that he is attempting to destabilize the United States of America. You know,
you can say
whatever you want about us lefties, but we don't do this shit. We don't stand there and try to intimidate people when they vote. Donald Trump on Monday lashed out at Republican leaders, including the House Speaker Paul Ryan, who have pushed back against the GOP nominee's message that the election is being rigged against him. Of course, there's a large-scale voting fraud happening on and before Election Day. Why do Republican leaders deny what is going on? So naive. By the way, there is factual evidence that voting fraud is minuscule.
I think in 2012, wasn't it 86 votes were found to be fraudulent in the whole of the United States?
And this was the excuse that the Republicans were using to stiffen voting registration in predominantly black areas so that they could cheat, you know. Cheat the election. This is probably why he's doing it. This came up on the Daily Beast, Randall.
Yeah.
You know, there is a sick shit rat cunning in Trump. And it goes to this. Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has held talks to proceed with a television startup on the Republican presidential nominee's behalf. The Financial Times
reports that. Yeah, I read that.
Kushner reportedly contacted Ari Berkoff of investment bank Liontree to that end. Trump has in the past denied that he's looking to start his own Trump TV channel. He told the Washington Post just last month that he has no interest in a media company, despite the fact that the digital media entrepreneur and erstwhile Breitbart head, Steve Bannon, is one of Trump's top advisors. If he loses, he's going to be milking the Hicks for money. And he's going to have to do that because NBC came out with this week. Visits to Trump-branded casinos and golf courses have slipped in September, suggesting the Republicans' campaign, Tumio's campaign, could be putting pressure on his companies. According to new analysis by Foursquare, which looked at visits from its more than 50 million users, the share of customer traffic going to Trump-branded properties didn't fall by 5%. Didn't fall by 7%. Didn't fall by 10%. 16.5% down in just 1 month.
Well, he just closed one last week.
Go ahead.
His most famous casino, Taj Mahal, folded last week. It's closed.
Yeah.
4,000 people out of work.
He's such a
success.
Yeah, go ahead.
Such a success.
Yeah, I know. Who manages to bankrupt a casino?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. How can you do that?
Well, he's done it several times, yeah.
And that's why he's thinking of running Trump TV. Because this guy, first of all, if you haven't registered to vote and you're not voting, get out there. We need to crush this motherfucker. Crush him and his ilk into the dust. That's the only way you deal with a bully. You hit him hard. You hit him hard again. I have to leave my bit on my rant, really, on Trump by sharing this with you. The Federalist is a magazine, and a woman named Denise McAllister, a survivor of assault, tried to explain why she was still voting for Donald Trump. Get a load of this. Hillary's plan to use executive orders for gun control is a direct attack on women. We are the weaker sex, physically speaking. We need to be able to defend ourselves. Our country's founders gave us the right of that defense. That includes women. Take away my right to a gun leaves me exposed to violence and cruelty of those who want to rob me of my life, my property, and dignity. Trump stands opposed to these threats. I'll skip a bit. As a woman who has been at the mercy of those who are stronger and more powerful, I refuse to elect a candidate whose oppressive ideology, and she's talking about Hillary here, puts women at risk, reduces their dependence on the state, and uses them as pawns in her personal quest for power. Is Trump the same? I don't know!
I don't
know. Now, how the fuck... You know, I don't have... This is what she says, Randall. Go ahead.
That lady...
This is...
Has got,
yeah.
Anything that controls guns...
Yeah.
It's not controlling her gun. It's controlling the gun of the guy that's going to molest her, rape her, kill her, and everything like that.
Yeah.
She should actually be happy with guns
because
being
she's
taken. California, assault rifles, I think, are banned from the 1st of January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're slowly going forward. But the things that she's talking about are the ones that are the guns that are going to take or have power over her, the woman, the victim of assault.
And I think you're absolutely right. You and I know this is right. Everybody who deals with facts is right. But her sentence is this. Think about this. I refuse to elect a candidate whose oppressive ideology puts women at risk. And she's talking about Hillary. Then she says, is Trump a candidate that puts women at risk? And then answers her own question by saying, I don't know. I don't have proof of that. Are you a fucking idiot? Then she goes, I do know the party he represents is not hostile to women. Are you fucking insane? But supports policies that protect women and honor their dignity and rights. That's not true of the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. Given her history, a history replete of sexism policies that assault women, I refuse to let her lies and false sympathies and the false sympathies of Michelle Obama, who, by the way, become the standard by which I choose the next president. These people are delusional. They are fucked in the head. They are mad. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. Your take, Randy.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. But the people I meet here saying, it's not so much they're going to vote for Trump, it's just that they can't bring themselves to vote for Hillary. Including my parents. So
why?
I'm sorry. She's corrupt. She's a liar. And I say, well, what? Oh, she must be. The emails.
Yeah, but you have a choice.
She's lied to the FBI.
She hasn't lied to you. She's the most. If you compare the transparency between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump won't even release his tax returns, for fuck's sake.
I know. Bill.
These are facts.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm telling you, it feels... The only thing better than beating your head against the brick wall is when you stop, it feels great. That's how I feel about that argument about why are you voting for Trump simply because you can't bring yourself to vote for Hillary.
Why do you think people like your parents are so delusional? Why are people like your parents so delusional?
Because they watch Fox News.
You're a doctor. Think about it. Why?
Fox News. My mother watches Fox News.
Yeah.
She says it's a conservative station. I watch conservative news. And I've been watching it over her shoulder a couple of times, and I've nearly lost my dinner a few times. I'm thinking, how can that possibly be? I mean, what they're saying is so untrue. And it's just all this old, same old, same old. You know,
How long would you say your mom's been watching Fox News for?
Oh, I don't know. Years.
Yeah.
Years.
Brainwashing. Brainwashing.
Probably, yeah.
Conditioning.
Hey, you know what? This is a secret just between you and me. Don't tell anybody. But I'm actually going next week to help her buy a handgun.
Oh, great. Why?
Well, why not? She wants one.
Oh, good. Because those are the people you should really have guns.
Yeah, to have in the bedside nightstand. And I said, look, I just hope that when somebody rings that you pick up the phone first, or you answer the phone and not the gun. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Then there's a reason, I'll tell you, so I don't say this lightly. There are many reasons why when I moved here for work, I stayed here. And I'll tell you, I love my country. I love going back to Boston. I love going back to New England. I love the people. But my country is too fucking crazy. This is just insane. This is just totally insane.
I know.
I would not raise my kids in certain parts of that country. They're just fucking nuts, man. They're just insane.
Sitting here in supposedly one of the most lovely places, and it is lovely, a lovely city, and it's just nuts. It's nuts. I saw a park ranger walk into the coffee shop today. I thought, oh, park ranger. He had a gun on, and I thought, why does a park ranger need to wear a gun? And I just realized that everybody in public service carries a gun these days.
Jesus Christ.
A park ranger, you know. Hey, boo-boo, what was a ranger? What's his name?
Are you going to shoot Yogi Bear for stealing jam sandwiches from the fucking picnic basket?
There are a lot of things here that bother me. California is not an open carry state, so apart from uniformed people, I have not seen any other weapons. But, yeah, it's scary.
America's eating itself up from the inside. It's heartbreaking to watch.
It's like spiders, you know. They lay eggs and then the young eat the parent.
Great. Listen, we're going to take a little
look at the time.
Break now.
Yeah. And, look at the time. Yeah.
And then we're going to break. You have a lot of stuff that you want to bring to the table, so
I want to continue with my Keith Olbermann series. Because it's becoming even more relevant by the day. I've got a terrific, religious nut job of the week. You'll love him. His name is Robert Tilton, the Reverend Robert Tilton. And then we'll have our tinfoil hats if we have time.
Okay. We'll be right back. It's a crazy world, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. After this message.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Straight in with the 2016 election, or as you may know it, I don't even believe in past lives, but I must have done something really fucking terrible in a past life to deserve this. I'm sorry, 2016. This week has yet again been dominated by Donald Trump, which is irritating in and of itself, because WikiLeaks continues to release emails connected to the Clinton campaign that raise serious issues, from that campaign's behavior, to the fact the hack may have come from the Russian government, to how journalists should respond to stolen documents. But it is hard to focus on any of that when the man who could be our next president is now one unearthed 90s-era Teen People interview away from being on a sex offender registry. Because Trump has had quite the week.
The Republican presidential candidate facing a barrage of accusations from multiple women who say Trump touched them inappropriately, kissed them against their will.
The first time it was just like a kind of a quick hug and a kiss on the lips. And I was shocked just because I was like, what was that? I've never had anybody greet me like that. I just kind of excused it as, well, I guess maybe that's how people on the East Coast greet each other.
Okay, well, first, that is horrible. But for the record, that is not how we on the East Coast greet each other. The way we greet each other is very simple. We don't do it. We stare at the ground and hope the other person moves away quickly so we can go back to muttering under our breath without seeming crazy. That's how we do it on the East Coast. This has frankly been a week of upsetting allegations regarding Trump, and I'm not going to make you sit through all of them again, because all you really need to know about the man is that this was his response to one of his accusers.
Believe me,
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell you. You don't know. That would not be my first choice.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I told you that if you looked up, you could see rock bottom. Then, last week, I told you that if you looked up, you could see the place we were a week ago. Well, this week, if you look up, all you can see are the thin plywood boards surrounding us on all sides, because we are in a coffin and we are buried alive in the horror that is this election. But incredibly, Trump's remarks were actually in keeping with the tone he promised this week.
The Republican nominee proclaiming on Twitter he is a free man. Quote, "It's so nice that the shackles have been taken off me and I can now fight for America the way I want to."
Yes, the shackles are off, which is actually an apt metaphor as it calls to mind both Frankenstein's monster and a rabid dog. And before I start to run through what Trump has said this week, keep in mind, we take this show at 6 p.m. So here is a rundown of some of the things he feasibly could have said between now and the point when we air. All those clowns people keep seeing would be appointed to his cabinet. He can get the best deals with China because he is in fact 100% Chinese. The border wall is going to be constructed out of Rosie O'Donnell's bones. Abortions are caused by low energy storks. And finally, it's not rape if it happens on a yacht. But here is what he has said as of now. First, he burned bridges with his own party, calling Paul Ryan weak and ineffective, and then, at campaign rallies, dialed the knob up to full-on conspiracy theorist.
Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty. This is a conspiracy against you, the American people, and we cannot let this happen or continue.
Holy shit! That is not the kind of thing that a presidential candidate says. It's the kind of thing. It's the kind of thing that a man in a tinfoil hat screams inside his concrete bunker because he thinks his soup cans have been bugged by the lizard people in the White House. But Trump isn't just rampaging against his political opponents, he's rampaging against his own campaign. When one journalist tweeted that at a recent rally, a Trump supporter was standing in the back shouting, "Stay on the issues," his own campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, responded, "That was me, I was there." And even if she meant that as a joke, it's not a great indication of how much control she has over her candidate. It's like she's already thinking ahead to her campaign tell-all book, or possibly her tell-all trial at The Hague. But...
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
And now it's time for Randy, live from the home country. Ladies and gentlemen, Randy's Rant. How you going, Randy?
Yeah, live from the mother country. The motherfucker country, yeah. Here I am in sunny Southern California. It was 80. It was 80 degrees yesterday, and it rained last night. So everybody's very happy. I'm ranting, but this is an ongoing segment that we've done simply because this was such a treasure trove, and I just couldn't use it all at once because I think our listeners would overdose. This is episode 3 of Keith Olbermann's Reasons Not to Vote for Donald Trump. So this is episode three. I've worked out that it will be a 4-part series. So we'll have the balance. Okay. We'll have the balance in the next show, and I think each one is just a smorgasbord of disgust, of a smorgasbord of sick. Oh, sorry. Anyway, here is Keith Olbermann with his ongoing thing from GQ magazine, GQ Video, Reasons Not to Vote for Donald Trump.
Okay.
The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who claimed he understood the sacrifices of losing a child in war because he had spent money to hire employees who has claimed he understood prejudice against African Americans because the system is also rigged against him, claimed the election will be rigged against him, claimed the opinion polls are rigged against him, then praised one of the exact same polls when it favored him, claimed he would be leading those rigged polls by 20 points, but for rigged media, claimed Democrats are voting 10 times each, claimed that his crowd in Colorado Springs would have been larger, but the fire marshal was a Democrat, claimed that his speech in Washington would have drawn as many as Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, but that nobody would let them in. A man who has claimed he was his own best foreign policy advisor, claimed that Putin will not go into Ukraine when he had already invaded Ukraine in 2014, claimed the U.S. is paying rent for a military base in Saudi Arabia when the last one there closed in 2003, claimed that to avoid hacking the military should stop communicating on wires and return to messengers. A man who has claimed that any candidate using a teleprompter should be ineligible and then himself began using a teleprompter. Claimed that he does not use notes for speeches during a speech he gave primarily from notes. Claimed he will fix the problems of African Americans and then days later suggested that an African American athlete protesting police shootings should leave this country. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who was revealed to have asked his foreign policy advisors three times in 1 hour why this country can't use nuclear weapons if we have nuclear weapons, after having asked a television interview the same question, who was revealed to have not known what the nuclear triad was, a man who is revealed to have been the political beneficiary of fake internet accounts underwritten by the Kremlin, revealed to have improperly sought campaign contributions from foreign nationals, including officials of foreign governments, a man who was revealed to have erased all his emails, including those sought in a lawsuit for 5 years, revealed to have plagiarized 20 pages in his Trump Institute handbook, revealed to have employed the purported author of his wife's convention speech, which plagiarized part of a speech written for Michelle Obama by Hillary Clinton's former speechwriter, revealed to have said on his 2008 radio show that Hillary Clinton would make a good president, a man who was revealed to have admitted using the pseudonyms John Barron and John Miller while pretending to be his own press spokesman and boasting of his sexual conquests in the 1990s, and revealed to have used the pseudonym John Barron while his company threatened his undocumented workers. Revealed to have telephoned one television network to alert it to something positive being said about him on another television network. A man revealed to have millions in outstanding loans to the Bank of China, revealed to have tried to make investment deals with Muammar Gaddafi, revealed to have once kept a book of Hitler's speeches in a cabinet near his bed.
Well, there you go. The Republican Party has nominated a man who has done all those things and more. And now, this litany, there's 176 well-documented, well-referenced reasons not to vote for Donald Trump. And I couldn't listen to the whole thing at once, and therefore I don't think we could have played the whole thing at once. But there you go. That I think, is almost like a catechism of chaos. This guy has done all of those things.
Yeah, it's
pretty bad.
He's a danger to the world, man. He's a danger to the world.
And the fact that people have accepted war if he's elected because they refuse to vote for lying Hillary, which was, I think, was a moniker coined by whining Ted Cruz, and it's still being bandied around.
Well, yeah, you know what I really can't understand.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was at the last debate. I think his name was Bone. And he said, well, you know what? I'm still undecided. Huh? I don't get that. I just don't get that.
Well,
to which one of these horror show revelations that have hit the media weren't enough to convince you? I mean, was it the idea... the idea that we should execute the families of suspected terrorists, or that we should deport anybody of a certain religion from our country, or the fact that we should commit war crimes, or the fact that maybe he's musing about the use of nuclear bombs, or the fact that he's, you know, basically been shown to be a molester. The fact that he's going to face a suit in New York State in December of raping a child. What is it that would make you not? How can you still be undecided? What does that say about you?
Yeah.
What does that say about you?
But you know,
I don't understand.
Bill, I've used these arguments against people who've said they're voting for the man. And they say, well, I don't know anything about that. That's not important. It's not one of the issues. Hillary is corrupt. She's lied to the FBI. And I'm going, what? You know, she deleted her emails. And I'm going, George Bush deleted 22 million emails. Oh, I don't know about that. That's not important. So people are focusing on negative things, about very narrow negative things, and unfortunately, that's going to translate to votes.
It's delusional.
It certainly is.
I mean, we're not talking about people who have a different political... You know, I've debated conservatives.
Yeah.
But I can't debate conservatives anymore.
No.
I literally can't talk to them. Very close-minded. No, they live in a delusional universe in which facts don't matter.
Here's the other argument.
They are sick.
Okay, here's the other argument I was given a couple of times. The pendulum swings. It's the Republicans' turn again. I'm going, what? What?
What?
Yeah, the pendulum swings.
So,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Jesus, so that's all that matters. It doesn't matter who's on the end of the pendulum or how deep of the shit it is. The pendulum swings.
So these people should not be, you know, seriously, these people should not be allowed near power tools. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're completely insane.
Well, no, that's why I'm here. I'm using the power tools. But yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
but you're gonna go buy your mother a gun. Good.
Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Seriously. It's giving me a semi. I'm kind of thinking that's, you know, it's part
First of all,
it's,
what kind of what kind of ego do you have?
I knew that would get you.
That there is a vast amount of people out there that think that you're important enough to want to kill. I mean, Christ! How important are you?
The pendulum swings like the pendulum do. Well, it was an old 60s song.
Right. What's up next, Randy?
I've got my religious nut job of the week.
Because we haven't had enough nuts. Okay.
You'll like this guy, the Reverend Robert Tilton.
Okay.
The Reverend Robert Tilton. You play this clip, you'll never be the same again.
Oh, God, I can't take any more changes, man.
Okay.
Okay, Reverend Robert Tilton on Randy's Religious Nut Job of the Week. Here it is.
Watch this. For I have seen all that Laban's... I've seen what Laban's done unto... Isn't that amazing? And my word will not return void, and it will go to that which it was sent. And it will prosper. But life and joy and the nature of God... Oh, hallelujah. And bread for eating... will also provide and multiply. Oh, that's the opening of the windows of heaven. This is decreeing faith. Decreeing a thing, excuse me, and it shall be established unto thee, the force, the spiritual force of the spiritual power. He is preparing for you as we even speak. I smell heaven's bakery cooking up something good for you, sister. If God's got to send a bird, he'll send a bird. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now listen to this. You go a little further. You get the one, God's for you. You get, he's with you. And then the last biggie, God's in you. Man. You remember those heavens were shut up. Because those heavens were shut up
and faith breaking through, And she proved God. God has something better than where you are right now. And their place in him as the... Hallelujah. And God sent that man that day to open up those heavens. Shoo, hallelujah. Instead of letting our faith be dictated to by our heart and what God said. There it is again, so strong. Faith is the substance, the title to the deed of the substance of things hoped for. I just got another good one. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm very bold. I know that. Before the devil steals this thought out of you, while the inspiration, while the anointing is there. Thank you, Lord. Hello. You have to press in. You have to press on. You have to go on. Starting is great. Proverbs says, but finishing is better. Finish what you start. Huh. Got to learn how to stick your stick up. Amen.
Randy, California is the home of novelty fart machines, and it looks like you got a hold of one.
No, this guy, the Reverend Tilton, who's also known as the farting preacher, or Pastor Gas.
The what?
The farting preacher.
The farting preacher.
Or Pastor Gas.
Is that actually him, or did you dub that in?
No, that's actually, no. The farting preacher is a YouTube phenomenon. There are dozens of his speeches because I don't know if he's got Tourette's or something, but he has all those, oh, Lord, oh, hallelujah, oh, there's a good one. You know, and somebody just thought, it's like if you put farts in there, all of his speeches would make sense. So that's just one example.
I'm so glad because, you know, once again, the Bill Show is your authoritative news source.
Pastor Gas, or the farting preacher, is there for comic relief.
I think you boys have had enough.
Somebody's baking bread for you, sister. Yeah, somebody's making something good. throw open the windows of heaven. Oh, dear. Hallelujah.
This is quality comedy. Champagne comedy.
I'm sorry. We needed a laugh.
You've had a lot of time on your hands, haven't you, Randy?
No! I've heard him before. He's very funny.
Oh, great. I love it. Anything else for us, Randy, on the ranch?
Well, no.
I have to...
No.
Open the door.
Yeah.
Pastor Manning just opened the windows at our Bill Show studios here.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Oh, Pastor Manning and Pastor Gas, yeah.
We got to get those two together. I think that they'd love each other in a very disturbing way.
Well, but you got to make sure the flame coming out of the ass doesn't mix up with the methane coming out of the ass. Might have an explosion
coming out of your
head. Oh dear! Hallelujah!
Now listen, you said that Danny Elfman actually composed a piece of music to put to Trump stalking Hillary at the last debate. Can we listen to a bit of that?
Yeah, I'll just explain. You know, people would know Danny Elfman. He was the composer of most of the Tim Burton films, Beetlejuice, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. He's a wonderful composer. Mm. He's done many films. And he just... I guess was moved to compose this about the stalker, Donald Trump stalking Hillary Clinton during the last debate. Okay. Yeah, I suppose so. Cast your mind back. You must listen to this, remembering him standing behind her, glaring at her, while you listen to this, and you'll understand the music.
Okay, it's the Suite for the Pervert. This is Danny Elfman score to Trump stalking Hillary Clinton at the last debate. Here it is.
Iraq. We are, however, producing a lot of natural gas, which serves as a bridge to more Care Act. And I'm going to fix it. Premium security people get their health care. And the Affordable Care Act, here's what I don't want people to forget when we're talking about reining in the costs, which has to be the highest priority of the next president. The slot that the Obamacare approach was to take. And like I say, 20 million largely, I believe, because of Iraq. We are not dependent upon the Middle East. For us, there are intelligence experts and others. But it is important for us as a policy to start over again. All of the commitments is
This is our last show before September 16th, and what we traditionally do when we're off for a little while is to give the future headlines, because there are people that come up to me all the time and say, Bill, I get all my news from your show. And in case you do, here, this way you'll be caught up until September 16th. So here are some of the future headlines we can expect while we're away. For example, Trump gets into vicious Twitter war with Make-A-Wish kids. Mental patient hacks Trump's Twitter account. No one notices. You see, these are things that are going to happen. Roger Ailes' ninth victim was Bill Cosby's 24th victim. Oh, that's completely predictable. Texas Waffle House celebrates 2 days without gun battle. Yeah, that's Chris Christie accidentally breaks world hot dog eating record. He accidentally did it. That's what's interesting. Trump announces first act as president will be to kill John McCain. McCain, I still support Trump. Tourists disappointed. Cuba full of poor people. Wow. Taylor Swift dumps latest for news. Guy for new similar looking. Trump slams Anne Frank as loser. I like Jews who didn't get caught. First Zika baby born in U.S. says Trump unfit for presidency. Oh, wow. Jesus returns, getting Twitter war with Trump. I like messiahs who don't get crucified. Oh, I mean, come on. This guy. Colorado re-legalizes weed after forgetting they already legalized it. Bernie Sanders releases first hip-hop album, Bankers Ain't Shit. Okay.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, yeah. Folks, it is our tinfoil hats for show 160. Randy's going to have a tinfoil hat that I'm actually going to give up my tinfoil hat to play a little something from Keith Olbermann, actually. That I think is a great thing to end the show on. But I will see our entire show is a tinfoil hat, really. So I thought we'd end on something a bit more
conservative. Well, I've had an entire aluminium body wrap, Bill.
Yeah.
I look like a shining mummy.
You're not my mummy.
I will not get through. I will not get through a metal detector for love of money.
What do you got? What do you got, Randy?
I've got, in keeping with today's theme, I've got two things. Why are Americans so stupid?
Got me.
And why are they so stupid? And why are they so stupid when it comes to Donald Trump? Now, we've asked those questions tonight, and I think as we end the show with our tinfoil hats, here is the answer.
Okay. This is Randy's tinfoil hat for show 160, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is.
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created.
It's disgusting, actually.
We have people that are stupid.
I'm really smart.
Bye-bye.
I'm really rich.
It was disgusting because of my genius, okay?
Certain people are zeros.
You are stupid.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president?
It's a very small element in my life, Megyn Kelly. I don't care about Megyn Kelly.
I refuse to call Megyn Kelly a bimbo because that would not be politically correct. Instead, I will only call her a lightweight reporter. I don't wear a toupee. It's my hair. I swear. Come here. Come here. Come here. Is it mine? Look.
It is. Say it, please.
Yes, I believe it is.
Thank you. Is that sucker real?
It's thin, but it's real.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And Mexico will pay.
How are you going to make the Mexicans pay?
You know, the Great Wall of China, built a long time ago, is 13,000 miles. I mean, you're talking about big stuff. We're talking about peanuts by comparison to that. Mexico will pay for the wall.
Oh, no! Yes!
No, oh my God, no.
Donald Trump actually doing the honors himself.
It was a disgrace.
It's, quote, it is better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep.
Do you like the quote? Did you know it was Mussolini?
It's okay to know it's Mussolini. Look, Mussolini was Mussolini. It's okay to know. It's a very good quote. It's a very interesting quote. And I know it. I saw it. I saw what, and I know who said it, but what difference does it make, whether it's Mussolini or somebody else?
You want to be associated with a fascist?
No, I want to be associated with interesting quotes.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists.
Okay, I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but...
I don't know anything. Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
It was disgusting.
I'm really rich.
I'm very rich.
People, I never went bankrupt.
Well, on the brink. Let's.
Neil, play. I never... Right. Neil, I never went bankrupt.
You've clearly had some big successes in the business world, but you've also had some big failures. And let's go straight.
No, I don't think I've had big failures. Donald Trump has always been very, very successful. There's nothing to apologize for. If you bomb the hell out of it, you bomb the hell out of it. It's a disgrace. Thank God we have guns. These are very, very sick people. They run like bandits. Our country is a mess.
Well...
Yeah.
So your take on that is
that's the person they're going to elect.
That's our that's the guy who says that it's completely unreasonable that he should not be elected president. So your tinfoil hat is basically Donald.
Not a single thing he said. Not a single thing that Donald said in that speech,
or that. That cut
has anything to do with reality. That those cuts has anything to do with reality.
No.
The guy's a fucking knob. Mm-hmm. And do you know that 95% of the words he says are one syllable.
Yeah, I was noticing something.
I think that's...
Well, it goes back to what we...
That's why people like
well,
it.
Well, that's why, you know, the point is the American public has been dumbed down to such an extent by Fox News, and I think Fox News is probably the major problem in America today. You have a dumbed down population, but what's really, really incredible is that if you listen to the debate, he cannot stay on one topic for the length of a paragraph. He can't stay on one topic. There's a pattern to his speech that shows him really to be quite deranged. You know, I really think that he needs help. He definitely needs psychological help. He's a criminally insane guy. And what bothers me again, and I'll repeat myself again, is this says, when you talk to Trump supporters, that there is a percentage of our population in America that has been turned criminally insane by conditioning. They have been conditioned to be criminally insane. They are a negation of facts. Yes. They openly advocate for somebody who is morally reprehensible and are able to advocate violence. And I really think we've bred an entire generation of people. And I no longer think that these people are just, you know, poor, because there was a stat that came out the other day. You know, the average Trump voter makes $70,000 a year. And so it's not just about economics. It's about brainwashing. It's about conditioning. And if you look back at, there's a great book, called The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. And it goes around the idea.
Yeah, I know.
It goes around the idea of how people are psychologically conditioned and how this reflects back on CIA experiments done in the University of Chicago and how certain private interests have taken those ideas and have gone off with them and used those basic, also Century of the Self, which is an incredible documentary, how advertising and how public relations has managed to turn television and turn media into the most lethal weapon against a free society we have ever seen. And this is psychological conditioning. This is psychologically conditioned. There's no... go ahead.
Okay. You know, we were talking about the fact that people have charted how he speaks, his speech patterns. 95% of the words he speaks are single syllable. He repeats himself. He's a soundbite machine. It's like in the 70s and 80s, you had people like Olivia Newton-John, an Australian singer, who became a huge hit in America, and the reason why is because she sounded great coming out of a mono speaker on AM radio in a car. So when people are driving along and they hear, "I love you, I honestly love you," she became a huge star because they thought, "I can hear everything about this singer in my 1960s and 70s car." Mm. So I think Donald Trump is one of those kind of homogenized voices that can come out of a very narrow channel and be understood with his one syllable.
Well, I don't know. I think that it's basically because when you condition an entire population to be cynical, and when you condition it, and there are reasons to be cynical. Yeah. I mean, we talk about cynicism on this show. We talk about corporate control. We talk about all those things. But when you condition an entire, you say your parents have been listening to Fox News for years. Look, the average American spends close to 27 hours a week. This was like 5 or 7 years ago they did this thing. 27 hours a week in front of television or in front of media. Now, if you would ask 9/10 of the people who are voting for Trump what they listen to, they are listening to Roger Ailes and Fox News. These people have been conditioned the same way Goebbels conditioned the Nazis. If you don't believe that,
yeah. And what was his famous quote? What was his famous quote?
Well, I think it was, tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and that,
the bigger the lie, you tell it more often enough, and they'll believe it.
And I don't find it unusual that Donald Trump has a book of Hitler's speeches by his bedside, because I think that what we're seeing happening here is very much goes back to what Hitler did, which was
in 1930, not Germany, 1933. Find somebody to blame, right, and get everybody to blame them, and then they will follow you. It's like the Pied Piper.
Well, Obama said it the other day. He said, "Look, the Republicans created this building. They created it. The only thing Trump did is take his name on a sign and slap his sign on top of it. This creation is from the Republican Party, and the Republican Party needs to be defeated. They need to be browned into ash, and totally made invisible. They are a cancer on the country. They are a cancer on our democracy.
Yes.
Not because they have conservative principles. Not because they have conservative economic policies. Not because they have conservative policies when it comes to defense. I disagree with those policies, but the Republican Party has become much more than that. The Republican Party is now a cult. And that cult is a danger to our democracy. Quite simply, it is. Now, going with that, listen, we talked a little bit about the fact that Trump and his supporters are threatening revolution and not respecting the outcome of our election. I have had
the results of the Democratic process
with the primary process. You can go back. We're Bernie Sanders fans. We have problems with this process. But what we're seeing right now has never been. This has not been seen in American history. So I would like to play something that Keith Olbermann again put up on what the historical context of Trump. And he's coming out with a policy where he says, we may not respect the election result. This is from Keith Olbermann. It's one of the most fluent and incredibly smart pieces that I heard this week, and from our old friend Keith Olbermann. So here it is. It goes on a bit, but it's worth listening to. If you haven't heard it, check out the GQ channel that he's on. It's called The Closer. He's fantastic, as always, and he's just, you know, he got this going simply because he couldn't keep quiet. This is Keith Olbermann from The Closer on the GQ channel, the historical context for Trump. Here it is.
The first question to Mike Pence in tonight's vice presidential debate should not be about Donald Trump's tax avoidance. It should be, does Donald Trump believe in democratic elections in this country? It was perhaps the first sane moment of Trump's campaign. It appears it was his last. Within 96 hours, he had repudiated that moment, and that repudiation was the most craven and cowardly act, not just of this election, not just of this campaign, but by any presidential candidate since the Civil War. And it was lost in the shuffle. Something un-American, something unbelievable, something unconscionable, and it barely registered, buried amid the emotional debris of an unstable megalomaniac raining down upon the nation. The, quote, genius, unquote, who claimed poor people weren't paying enough taxes when he may have paid none for 18 years, a debate over non-existent sex tapes, controversy over who will tweet at 3 a.m., invocations of marital infidelity, cheating at charity, cheating at illegal trade with foreign nations, lost in the avalanche of stupidity and self-obsession and hypocrisy from this idiot Trump, missed in large part because there are a dozen things a day, any one of which should disqualify him from residency, let alone presidency. And yet he said it, as glibly as if he were unhappy about a local zoning board decision. One of you will not win this election, debate moderator Lester Holt had said. Are you willing to accept the outcome as the will of the voters? And Trump could not simply answer it. He first had to wade through the involuntary egotism and spasmodic salesmanship with which he thinks he is cloaking the most insecure man of our times from public view. But finally, he said it, if she wins, I will absolutely support her. The first thing he has yet said that indicated that for a moment, just for a moment, he could put America ahead of his own ego, ahead of his own naked lust for power and control, control not just of a company or a television show where what he says is the rule, but of a nation in what he says is the law. And it was just for a moment. For then the impact of his failures at the debate hit him, and the pattern of whatever is wrong with him stopped waning and started waxing, and Trump took it back. Late last Friday, Trump told the New York Times he was rethinking his statement, rethinking whether or not to recognize the outcome of the presidential elections next month. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see what happens. We're going to have to see. No presidential candidate, no political party, no leading government figure, no member of the military, no prominent commentator nor leader of any kind is permitted to raise such doubt. The sanctity of the election is the bedrock of this country, not the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, not the military, not the founding fathers. There is only one response permissible to a question about the outcome of the election: acceptance. Merely to hesitate, even in the most trying of circumstances, in the midst of legal actions by both sides, in the immediate aftermath of as close a vote as could be imagined, is to change one's reputation forever, as it did that of Al Gore. To hesitate and be judged in the legal right still eternally alters a man's place in history, as it did that of George W. Bush. Richard Nixon, who craved the presidency more and more ominously than any other man who attained it, even he did not move to formally contest the razor-thin margin of 1960, and he certainly did not imply he would not, nor others should not, recognize it. Samuel Tilden denied the presidency in 1877 in a fateful bargain between the Democrats and Republicans that sanctified Jim Crow in this country for 80 years, still walked away, even at a time when the sitting president had quietly strengthened the military presence in Washington over rumors of armed revolt, no matter who won the election, even as members of the U.S. military supposedly offered Tilden support to overturn that election by force, Tilden still obeyed. Abraham Lincoln, when he thought as late as September 1st, 1864, that he would lose re-election to General George McClellan and the Democrats, he was ready to leave office in the middle of the Civil War and honor the election. And Nixon, and Gore, and Hubert Humphrey in 1968, and Charles Evans Hughes in 1916, and Andrew Jackson in 1824, and all the other losers in all the other impossibly tight elections in our history, not only never raised a serious doubt about the legitimacy of their own defeat after it happened, even when, as in Tilden's case, the flaming torch of civil war had been one side's recourse just four elections previously, but none of them ever would have dreamed in a dozen lifetimes to threaten not to recognize the election before the election happened. Trump, you are a child throwing matches at a gasoline can. You are pulling on the loose thread that every winner, every loser, every saint, every devil, and everyone else who has ever sought the presidency has known better than to touch. You are denying the fundament of democracy, betraying the history of your party, your people, your nation. Trump, you are fomenting revolution. There is no margin for error here because, no, Trump, we are not going to have to see. What we are going to do, we Americans, after that remark, I don't know what you are. What we are going to do is to honor the 57 elections that have gone before, even if they're hacked by the Russians, who you like far too much to make thinking men and women do anything but cringe. And if we don't like the outcome, we will act to remedy it within the Constitution. Opposition, protest, impeachment, even formal contestation, all of it legal, ethical, often necessary to the life of the nation. But nobody, Trump, who believes in democracy, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, first says he will absolutely support the free elections that have kept us free for 240 years, and then within the week, because he doesn't like the polls, because he doesn't like the commentators, because he doesn't get his way, suddenly switches to, we're going to have to see. Trump, you are by yourself and as a representative of a brutal minority in this country, a threat to the very democracy that permits a savage like you to rise this far and get this close to the life and death power of the presidency. in the kind of nightmare country you invoke just by using the very phrase, we're going to have to see, your presidential aspirations would have ended long ago and not by legal means. But this is America, and this is democracy. And even when nearly 2.5 centuries worth of process and law and good fortune comes to a sudden end and the system spits up someone wholly unqualified for office, nowhere is it written that the rest of us can simply say, we're going to have to see if we will support the outcome of this election, even if it led to the cataclysmic nightmare of your administration, Trump. We would stay and fight you through the law, through the Constitution. Through the Constitution and for those things, the Founding Fathers risked their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. For those things, every soldier who ever wore this nation's colors fought. For those things, every patriot willingly offered up all they knew and loved. And the first of those things, Trump, is the sanctity of the election. If you cannot now hold to a pledge to honor and accept its outcome for more than 96 hours, you are not a president. You are not a man of freedom. You are not an American. Get out! Out of this race, now, before you damage this democracy still further. Get out! Out of this country, now, before the cowards and fascists and bigots who have rallied around you for a year begin to believe that their subversion of democracy will be permitted here. You would fit in perfectly in the new government of the Philippines. You like Russia? I'm sure they can find people for you to dictate to and oppress there. Get out, Trump. For once in your life, recognize that something is not about you, nor is it about your opponent, nor the Democrats, nor the Republicans. It is about the essence of the United States of America. And you do not have the option to say, we're going to have to see. 240 years of patriots' blood and respect for law will not be sacrificed at the gold-plated altar of your sick and demented and morally treasonous ego. That's the closer. I'm Keith Olbermann. Watch this space.
All the things that I wanted to say.
Oh, Keith Olbermann for president. What an orator. What an amazing orator. That was incredible. Get out.
It was incredible.
Get out. Get out! Get out! If you can't...
You sick, depraved fuck.
Yeah, that was terrific.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Bill. That was terrific. Thank you. Thank you.
I sent a copy of that to my dad. And my dad has a photo of him. He was a Republican once. He has a photo of him and Dwight David Eisenhower. And he has a photo of him and Richard Nixon.
Eisenhower wasn't a Republican.
David Eisenhower was a Republican.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he was one of the last great Democrats. He was a socialist.
Well, that's right. Yeah. He was. How do you think we came up with the thing? But he ran on the Republican ticket.
Of course he did.
And my father...
He could have...
My father is a guy who gave me a copy of the Constitution.
Yeah?
He sent it to me. And to listen to this... malignant tumor, this abortion of a man, threatened to soup up his nutcase followers to use violence, means that I believe that we should really actively, if he goes off his nutcracker and starts inciting violence, throw him in jail.
Yeah.
Throw this fucker in jail.
It's like Kristallnacht.
You know, he keeps saying that we're going to throw Hillary in jail, charge him, put him in front of a... We're not going to just throw him in jail. We're going to put him in front of a trial, and we should absolutely... Sedition and treason.
Yeah.
This is treasonous. It is totally treasonous. This guy is somebody who needs to go. Go! You are sick. You are depraved. You are a sick, malicious tumor of a human being who has been put forward and souped up the worst kind of fascist idiots in my country. Fuck you. Leave.
Yeah.
And Keith said it, man. He said it.
He said it.
And I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. Hey, listen, we had to get over a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we never would have said anything like what he's saying now.
Exactly.
Last take, Randy.
No, I absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm still ringing about that Keith Olbermann speech. It was terrific. I'm going to go and look up the video and just watch it again. It's terrific. Yeah,
it's amazing and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna watch it as a video.
Listen,
look at the time.
Listen, look at the time. We've gone late, but it's been a mad rush, ladies and gentlemen. Let's close this one out. I'm here in Melbourne, Australia. My friend Randall's been talking to me from California,
Santa Barbara, California. Santa Monica? Yeah, that's me.
Santa Barbara, California. So, if you see a big guy in Santa Barbara, guys, who's buying novelty obesity jeans, that's my friend.
This is Obesity City. I'm actually quite small.
I know.
You go into the supermarkets, yeah, you go to the supermarkets. They have those electric trolleys. It's crazy. It's craziness.
Yeah, God.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you want to reach us, folks, you can. We're at, by the way, the Jonesy Awards are still going forth. We've been just pushing this out because there's just too much.
Yeah.
So if you want to submit a Jonesy Award, remember the Bill Show on XPR at gmail.com. You can reach us on thebillshow.net, though we haven't been near it for a while. Have a look. If you want to leave us a message, please do. You can also reach us on Stitcher Radio. That's right, Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show.
And we're iTunes, it's on iTunes, yeah.
iTunes and of course our home base, www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. And we're going to be back, guys, because we don't quit. we'll be back watching this train wreck until the very end. Randy, take care. Enjoy the 80 degree weather in California.
Yeah. Okay, Bill. We'll do another show next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Happy trails to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy trails until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails.